What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Back to the Hollow Sky Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Steven.
And Kyle.
And it's Monday Hollow Cult. You know what that means. You've chosen us to hang out with you and get you through this work week. Today, Kyle's bringing a... What's Kyle bringing us today?
Orange bunion.
The orange bunion. If you're not ready, get ready. It's coming. If you're new here, we chat about some show stuff in the beginning. If you want to get right to the crux of the show, you're going to want to fast forward about 6 minutes and you'll be right there. If you want to listen to us talk, feel free to hang out. If you're not new here, welcome back, weirdos. Thanks for choosing us. Check us out all our social medias. Not going to go through and spend all the time naming them. Search up the Hollow Sky Podcast and come and hang out with us in the community. Join the cult. It's super fun. Everybody's doing it. Come and hang out. It's rad. You've got a paranormal experience you'd like to share with us and the rest of the Hollow Cult. Kyle's got some stuff and things for you.
I do. It's easy. Well, it's in the show notes every episode, so there's that. But if you can't figure that out, and I understand why you couldn't, hollowskypodcast@gmail.com. Write your story out. Shoot it over to that email. We'll find it. We'll make you famous. And you'll enjoy the rest of your life.
As a famous person.
As a famous person.
Yeah. Simple science, really.
Not like ultra famous, but like slightly famous.
Yeah. Famous within your household.
Yeah.
That's what we are. Works out. If you'd like to support the show, there's plenty of ways you can do it. We got a Patreon. You can go over there and check that out. Look at the different tiers. We offer all kinds of things. Patreon exclusive episodes. All sorts of stuff. Just go look around. Go peruse. See if you see something you like. It's easy. We got some merch at hollowskypodcast.com. We got some shirts over there, some hats, beanie. I don't know how many hats and beanies are left. Probably not a lot. We got some stickers over there, all kinds of good stuff. Best thing you can do is share the show. Put the word out. Keep it rolling. Share every episode that pops up. Go over to the YouTube, like and subscribe. Comment everywhere. Just keep us rolling through the algorithm. It's the best thing. Any help that way helps us out a lot. Trying to keep the community growing here in the Hollow Cult. You can also go to wherever you listen to podcasts and leave us a 5-star rating and review. You can also do it on some of the social medias, such as Facebook, which is where this week's 100% rating and review comes from.
100%.
100%. 30 reviews on Facebook, and we still have 100%.
Dang.
That's pretty good numbers. Comes to us from our friend Robert. Robert said, two buds dropping elbows on Dogman, stunners on Bigfoot, giving demons a sweet chin music, and flipping demons off while crushing monsters and drinking Faygo. 100% recommend. Listen on the regular.
Nailed it.
That's probably the best one we've had since Bigfoot Bong Ripper.
Nailed it.
Nailed it. Hell yeah, Robert. I don't know if I've actually tried Faygo. Sorry,
I definitely haven't.
Well, I'm gonna go to the Dollar Tree and make it a priority now.
Well, if that's the case, then you have to get face paint.
Do I have to put Juggalo paint on before I go into Dollar Tree?
No, just I think as soon as you buy it, then you have to immediately put face paint on.
If I drink the Faygo, do I just automatically get face paint?
Oh, I think that's probably how it works.
Well, I'm gonna ask Twiz. Twiz, I know you're listening.
He would know.
Fill us in.
Yeah, I feel like he would know.
Yeah. Twiz is like a Juggalo lord.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Robert. Hell yeah. Great 100% Facebook recommendation. We appreciate you.
I'm surprised we're not famous.
No, because we don't have Juggalo face paint on.
That's true.
We need to get the Juggalo Kings, ICP, on the show, talk about Bigfoot.
Be pretty sick.
Would be sick.
I don't even know if I would know what to do.
I wouldn't know what to do. I just have Twiz sit in.
Yeah, that's probably the best idea.
Do your thing. Do your thing, bud.
You got this.
Yeah. Thanks, Robert. 100% on Facebook. Another way you can support the show is by supporting our wonderful sponsors, which you will hear from right about now. Hey, Holocult. Did you know that there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your front door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code HOLO1. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. They have Sleepy Time Advanced gummies for a mind-soothing calm each night. They also have Morning Delta 9 gummies for an energizing, focused mental boost to start your day. Mind Magic gummies for focused, deep work and enhanced creativity. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a large selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get in the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your front door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered directly to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned before, Hollow Sky listeners gets 20% off their first order with code HOLO1. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code HOLO1 when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Be sure to try it today at Mood.com.
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage 1. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
And just like that, we are back. Kyle's coming in hot, bringing his orange bunions, and we're going to talk about it.
The orange bunions, baby. Actually, it's pronounced orang bunia. But, I mean, loosely translated to orange bunion.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It rolls off the tongue a lot better.
I had to have ChatGPT tell me how to say it right. Orang bunia. I'm probably going to forget that and just revert back to orange bunion.
Orange bunion's way smoother.
It does just roll off the tongue, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's a pretty solid description.
Yeah, and this is our world. We can do whatever we want.
You're right. You're right.
We're manifesting.
It is our world.
It's now the orange bunion.
At least we don't make a bunch of noises anymore.
God, we're going to get 150 bad reviews.
That's okay.
Stop making mouth noises.
Guess what? We're not opposed to bad reviews. We get them quite often.
You'll never hate us as much as we hate ourselves.
That's true story. That's true story. Our minds are poison. Maybe we do need to find Jesus. Maybe that guy's right.
Maybe he needs to find me.
I mean, there's that too. But anyways, back to the orange bunion. Orang Bunia. Now, these encounters and beliefs come from Malaysia, Indonesia, Brunei, and parts of southern Thailand. The phrase literally means hidden people or whistling people.
Whistling?
Whistling people.
Don't like that.
No. And that's, in my opinion, that's extremely reminiscent of the Fae.
Yeah, don't like that.
Especially in reference to the hidden people. They are usually described as beautiful, dressed in ancient Southeast Asian style, and nearly identical to humans in appearance. One trait that seems to be real to really stick throughout descriptions is that they do not have the, what's that? The philtrum, that the little half pipe.
I call this a snot trough because my mustache doesn't grow there.
Yeah. Yeah. That thing. Now, apparently these people don't have that. So if you ever encounter someone that doesn't have that, they're probably an orange bunion.
Well, I am not.
You should immediately call them out as orange bunions.
I am not, because I have a perfect snot trough.
Yeah.
Just funnels.
Steve's solid. He's not an orange bunion.
I am bunionless.
Their skin also supposedly glows with an inner radiance, and their eyes are described as mesmerizing that can entrance you if you look too long.
Nobody has ever called me entrancing or radiant. So
I feel like there's been somebody out there that has. Mm-mm.
Oh, they're wrong.
Well, I mean, just because they're wrong doesn't mean they didn't say it.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. Some sources say that most people will never see them. Only the people with the spiritual sight see them, which is usually shamans and healers. People, this is interesting. People can often smell them. They say it smells like fried food wafting through the deepest forest. Locals call this God's cooking.
If there's one way a fey cryptid creature is going to lure my fat ass into the forest, it's going to be making it smell like fried food.
Yeah.
If I go out there and I'm smelling funnel cakes, I'm hunting it down.
Oh, well, I ain't mad at that. Funnel cake 100%. Goes a long way.
I will fall into a fey trap if the bait is funnel cake or fried chicken.
Yeah, I mean, get some Raising Cane's up in that bitch or some good old fried fish.
Yeah, I'm done. They have my number. It's over. Crying baby in the woods, I'm walking away. Whistling in the woods, I might whistle back, but I'm not going to chase it. If I smell something delicious,
yeah,
don't come looking for me.
It's over.
So it's done.
So the Orang Bunia are generally regarded as benevolent, befriending, and they are rumored to often assist humans. They are also able to, and this is kind of where I feel like the narrative should shift, however it doesn't, they're also able to intermarry with humans and bear invisible children. According to some tales, men had married Orang Bunian women but later decided to leave the Bunian community and return to the families they left behind. However, when they do this and they return to human society, they often find that many years have passed and everyone they knew is either extremely old or dead.
I'm going to cut you off right there again. And then people are like, you've been cutting them off the whole episode. But I just had the weirdest deja vu. Did we talk about something like this before?
Yeah, we've talked about something similar to this before. Okay. I think it's in regards to the Fae.
Okay.
Like coming going into the Fae realm.
Yeah. That just had me all screwed up. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, it definitely happens. They were beings that look human but exist slightly outside normal perception. They were often considered guardians of certain jungle regions. Some early Malay oral histories describe the jungle as layered. You have the visible world, which all of us see, and another world occupying the same space. Humans move through one layer, and the Orang Bunian move through another. This idea predates colonial influence as well. It comes from animist and early Islamic era folklore, where the forest is considered spiritually inhabited. In the beginning, you had older village stories told by hunters and travelers that people would hear voices, and these voices would guide them away from danger. Some people would be invited deeper into the forest settlements and were never seen again. Like is so with the Faelor. Faelor is extremely similar to this. Regardless, one thing is for sure. The jungle is viewed by many cultures as not being empty. It belongs to older intelligences. And I feel like the same principle applies to forests as well. I know jungles and forests are vastly different, but I feel like they're relatively the same thing.
It is interesting to me how the lore, despite being geographically as different as you can be, has so many similarities, so many parallels that run through it all over the world. Like our Faelor here in America versus the Faelor in, you know, Ireland and Norway and shit like that, compared to this essentially Fae lore in Southeast Asia and stuff. Like it's crazy how the parallels just line up.
Yeah. And I think, cause like if you surface level the Fae in regards to the Orange Bunion here, I feel like you're going to get one that's predominantly benevolent and the other one is malevolent. So I think a lot of people, surface level people, would view the Fae as malevolent because you hear a lot about the changelings and the luring and making deals and so on and so forth. But I feel like once you dig a little deeper into the Fae lore, it's not all that. It's not all like wretched. There are people out there that swear by the Fae. They're like, they help us find stuff and they help take care of stuff and so on and so forth.
I think the further you get into it, it's very respect based.
Yeah, yeah. You
know, it's very give and take kind of relationship with them. And if you cross them, if you do them wrong, then bad shit's going to happen, which should happen. You know, if you're going to be a scumbag, fucking you get hit with the scumbagness.
Yeah, it's actually ironic that you say that. But the lore surrounding the Orang Bunian became a way to explain disappearances, strange sounds in the dense rainforest. Also, that feeling of being watched in environments where visibility is limited, something we all know, you know, too well.
Especially in the forest.
Especially in the forest. Like I said, people didn't label them as monsters or dangerous. However, these beings developed rules set by the locals. Rule number one, don't speak arrogantly in the jungle. Which is pretty much kind of what you just said. Asshole. Don't be an asshole. Many traditions warn against mocking unseen beings. Well, there's two check marks for us. Boasting loudly or insulting the forest.
Don't be an asshole.
Don't be an asshole. People believe that the Orang Bunian observe behavior before revealing themselves. Which as you dig around about these beings that lurk inside the forests and jungles, they all seem to have a relatively similar motif. Rule number two, respect the sudden silence. Witnesses often say that when the insects and the birds go quiet at once, stop moving. The silence was interpreted as something entering the area that doesn't belong to the normal, belong to normal nature. One thing that stands out when you start looking at these rules is that they aren't really about spirits at all. They're about respecting the forest itself. In traditional jungle communities, survival depended on reading the environment. Hunters had to pay attention to sound, movement, weather, and the behavior of animals. So many of the warnings about the Orang Bunian also functioned as practical survival advice. Don't shout arrogantly in the forest. Don't wander aimlessly when something feels wrong. Don't follow voices that don't make sense. Those rules protected people from very real dangers, especially in these dense rainforest environments. But over time, those survival instincts blended with spiritual belief. The forest stopped being seen as empty land and started being understood as inhabited territory. And once you accept that something intelligent may live there, the rules start to feel less like superstition and more like etiquette. You're not just entering the jungle, you're entering someone else's domain. And in regards to the previous statement here about people who hear that sudden silence that we hear about in a lot of cases, that's one thing that I haven't heard before is the advice to stop moving.
No, me either, actually. Like, you hear that, that is a pretty constant staple in the missing 411 lore.
Yeah.
The sound of the, like, whenever whatever is being, like, projected is taking people or however they put it out there, a lot of times the forest will go silent.
Yep.
And I guess I guess there was never any kind of anything put out as to what you're supposed to do when that happens. But remaining silent kind of makes sense in a predator prey kind of scenario.
Right, right. And it could just be out of a respect too.
Yeah.
No, respect me. And just shut the fuck up.
Yeah. That could be said for a lot of scenarios.
Rule number three, never follow voices calling your name, which I feel like that's pretty predominant throughout all paranormal lore.
Yep.
Don't do that.
The lore is just interweaving itself throughout
cultures
and geographical locations.
Yep. And like I said, this one appears constantly with so many cultures around the world, always about the hidden people too, the beings that are out in the wilderness. Stories describe hearing relatives or friends calling from trees and voices slightly distorted or echoing wrong, which sounds extremely fucking terrifying. Hearing someone speak out there and it quote unquote echoes wrong just gives you the fucking heebie-jeebies.
Yeah, that is weird.
That's not comfortable.
I'm trying to imagine it in my head, how it would sound wrong.
I don't know. I don't really want to know.
No, me either.
I mean, well, on one hand, and then on the other hand, I'm here for it. I mean, I would listen.
I am curious. I wonder if it's mechanical or, you know, how, if the echo doesn't match the voice.
I don't know. They just said it, if it echoes wrong. It's probably also one of the things you'll know it exactly when you hear it.
Yeah, it's also, what is it? Is that skinwalker or Wendigo culture?
Yeah,
one, I think both of them. Talks where it will mimic the voice of either you or a relative.
Yeah, which is disgusting. Yep. But they say that following the voice will lead you deeper into the jungle, and sometimes you won't return. Rule number four. Ask permission before entering deep forest places. Locals still speak before cutting trees. They leave small offerings, and they also announce their presence. Not with the belief that the Orang Bunian are evil, but with the belief that they are territorial. If you break these rules, the forest might change. just like some of the Western stories in Malaysia, they had stories of people that would go missing and they wouldn't be found for days or even weeks. Search teams would be sent in and find nothing, which is exactly like the missing 401 situations. And I think in some cases, they would go back through places that they've already checked and find people there.
Yep.
Which is identical to 401. What makes these stories particularly unsettling is how often they follow the same structure. Someone enters the forest alone, they become disoriented, then something changes in the environment. Witnesses frequently describe the jungle going unnaturally quiet. No insects, no birds, no movement in the canopy. For people familiar with the rainforest ecosystems, that kind of silence is immediately alarming. Normally, the jungle is deafening with sound. When it suddenly stops, it means something has disrupted the natural order. In Orang Bunian lore, that silence isn't just a warning. It means you've been noticed. Some people describe hearing footsteps behind them that stop whenever they turn around. Others talk about feeling surrounded by presences just outside their field of vision. And that's usually the moment when the voices start. And like I said earlier, just like that, the missing people are found after some time, after the searchers come in, they'll search an area, you know, so they're sometimes, not every time, they're found in a place that's already been searched. Usually when they are found, they are weak and dazed, but they are alive and well. The rescuers would swear that they had checked that exact area over and over again. And in that area, there were no signs of life, no footprints, literally nothing to suggest that a person is there or was there.
I wonder if there is like an exact North American parallel to this, because I've been in a scenario where I've been out in the middle of the, not in the middle of the forest. It was in a familiar forest that I've been in many times before. And I had a scenario like that happen. Like I've talked about it here on the show. I know I was. I walked into the woods on one side of this dirt road, this dirt four-wheeler path. Walked in there. The only way to get on the other side is to cross the path again. It splits the forest. I get out there. I lose my sense of direction. I can't remember if everything went quiet or not. It feels familiar. Like that's what happened, but I don't know if it's just because we've been talking about it.
Right.
But it gets to the point to where I get in mild panic. Like I know that I don't know where I am. So I think to myself, I'm just going to, if I head west long enough, I'll hit the farm, I'll hit the road, or I'll hit the highway. It's fine. And as I'm moving, I'm starting to get about my bearings. And somehow I am on the opposite side of the road that I had went into the forest on.
Which is weird.
Never remembering to my obviously passing the path, because at that point I'm panicking. The one thing that I'm looking for is the dirt road. So somehow I managed to get on the other side of that without paying attention.
Yeah, that makes you relatively uncomfortable.
Yeah, when you're in a scenario like that and the panic kicks in,
it sucks.
Yeah, it's a terrible feeling.
Yeah.
Especially in somewhere familiar, because you're like confident about where you are and you're right, just kind of chilling, and then everything starts to like, this doesn't look familiar. This doesn't look familiar. This doesn't look familiar. You're like, oh shit.
This is bad.
It's bad.
This is bad. Typically when the person is questioned, they would always say the same thing. They were not alone and that they were actually in a village. Remembering that a group of people had been taking care of them, in this place they ate some of the best food and had the most comfortable shelter. So it sounds like wherever they were at is a relatively legit place. Everyone hearing this story from the abductee or lost person, it would baffle the searchers because as they are looking around, there is zero evidence of a village, no huts, no people, no fire, literally nothing in the area. So they're just, I would imagine in most cases, they're probably convinced that this person is just out of it. They're dehydrated. Their stress is through the roof. It's altering, you know, all that stuff. They're just going to cram anything they can to explain this away onto situation and move along.
Yeah. I know I keep saying the parallels, but it's very much like stepping into the Fae realm.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same thing. And you hear stories of that in Missing 411, where people will maybe not necessarily find a village or something, but they'll see people and try to interact with people that either do not acknowledge them, will interact with them, but nobody else claims to have been in the same spot at the same time. Like, it's very, very, the similarities are crazy.
Yeah. Another slightly creepy thing about the Orange Bunyan is that if they are to fall in love with you, sometimes they are unwilling to let you go.
Oh. Possessive lovers.
Slightly.
Mm.
Slightly so. Mm. According to some sources, and I know it's kind of contradicting with some other information I presented earlier. However, as you're staying in their world, you are actually what could be considered a fading shadow in our world. So your existence will slowly fade away until, by all accounts, you never existed in our world.
That sucks.
Crazy, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It would be hard to turn away from beings that are rumored to have this ethereal eminence, you know, this skin as smooth as silk and eyes as brilliant as the stars. Furthermore, a world that may match ours perfectly, almost like it's the perfect upside down. Everything there is in harmony with everything.
And smells like delicious food.
Apparently, they constantly appear to those in a tight spot, and they usually offer help. I read one story where a child was wandering around the woods and stumbled into a clearing. In this clearing was a gathering of the Orang Bunyan. The child was captivated by them. She watched as they moved and danced. After it was over, the Orang Bunyan just scattered, which left the young child with an impression that she had just witnessed a miracle. And that's slightly reminiscent to a story we covered a while back, Steve, where I think I was doing a series on, like, cloaked entities. And if you remember, there was that one where the park ranger was watching this kid play with his truck with his family, and this cloaked entity thing basically took the kid and he freaked out.
Oh, I do remember that.
Right. And then he went looking for them, he went into a clearing and he saw these things dancing around.
Yeah, that's weird.
It is weird.
It's crazy. It makes you wonder if it's the same entity just interpreted differently across cultures.
Very well could be. And I mean, if you think about it, why would there be this, like, liminal space in one specific region of the world and not others?
Yeah. Yeah, makes sense.
Because if there's an overlapping world, it should be an all-encompassing overlapping world, I would imagine. Yeah. It just maybe certain areas the veil is slightly thinner, where it's easier to puncture than other spots.
Yeah, or again, it could be a cultural or geographical gap. You know, these things could be happening; they're just getting explained a little bit differently, so people aren't necessarily equating the two as being, or three, sure, or four or five as being similar.
Sure.
We're putting the pieces together.
Oh, fuck. We're sure as hell going to try.
Chew the corners off of them.
Another encounter of an angler who had a run-in with them said he came away with a gift, one that allowed him to communicate with creatures. And I'm assuming by creatures it is, you know, assuming the animals of the world. However, he was able to take this gift and began life as a healer, discovering information to fix illness and sicknesses that had tormented his little town for some time. So I guess essentially he's able to communicate with animals and everything else, and they're able to help him sift through probably plants and medicinal stuff like that. Mount Ophir, known locally as Gunung Lidang.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Supposedly houses one of their grandest palaces. Basically a massive kingdom where it legitimately holds their royalty. Apparently they have the ability to manipulate time as well, slowing it in their domains. They even have the capability of reverse aging, even in objects. And they can move between temporal realms. And I read a description where it was essentially like, if they, like, say they let Steve borrow this bowl, like, here, dude, you can take this bowl home with you. They're not even worried about, like, you fucking it up or it being used so much that it wears down, because they would have the ability to take it back and then just reverse age it.
That's back crazy.
Back to its original quality.
That's immediately what I thought. Like something rusty, as soon as it goes back to them, like it just morphs itself back to before it was
used. Yeah, they can reverse age it.
Or a tree, you know, a tree, giant oak tree just getting turned into a little sapling. Like reversing. Linear time doesn't exist to them.
Yeah, it's crazy. They can also
makes my head hurt.
They can also communicate with animals, control weather patterns, which is a huge one in the missing 401 shit.
Yeah, storms always come through.
Yep, and they possess encyclopedic knowledge of medicinal plants. Traditional healers in the area will often attribute their potent remedies to the Orang Bunian and their teachings. These can be passed down through dreams or chance encounters with them. They also possess the ability to become invisible. They have been able to fade from view even when speaking with somebody. So they could be talking to you, and then as they're talking to you, they just fade out. But you can still hear them. They're still talking. They're just invisible now.
They're overpowered is what they are.
Oh, yeah. They're definitely OP.
You're gonna let them turn invisible, let them talk to animals, let them reverse. They have time manipulation. They can take you to an astral plane. I don't know. You fall in love with them. They fall in love with you. You're never going anywhere. They're going to disappear you from existence.
Yeah. Apparently that ability, the being able to talk to you and also turn invisible at the same time, is why they are called the Whistling People.
So you're talking, they disappear, and then they just vanish, and they're whistling at you from other places. Like,
no, hey, I think it's just the concept of it. I guess I don't really understand it, but the ability to be invisible and still communicate with you is why, like, because they still speak to you. They're speaking like you and me are right now. It's just they had decided to turn invisible for whatever fucking reason.
Because they can and they're overpowered.
That's true. I mean, I would do it too.
Yeah, hell yeah. That's a flex. You just turn invisible. Like, yeah. What are you going to do with that?
And here's another slight turn on the benevolent aspect. Apparently, there's a phenomenon over there where babies go missing, which is reminiscent of the Fae.
I didn't even have to say it. I was going to, but I didn't.
Medical professionals in Malaysia have supposedly, there are conflicting reports of this, but supposedly documented cases where pregnant women which is confirmed through ultrasounds, but they never are, they deliver only a placenta. And there's a doctor, this is all supposedly, Dr. Rosanna Zamzam from the hospital, university, something Malaysia, reported treating a 43-year-old patient who showed clear ultrasound images of a four-month pregnancy. Days before her due date, new scans revealed an empty, non-pregnant uterus. Let me see. In some Malay villages, elders tell of a young woman who began dreaming of a man dressed in pale green robes during her pregnancy. He never spoke loudly. He simply watched her from the edge of the forest clearing. At first, she thought it was anxiety about motherhood, but the dreams became vivid. She described hearing music with no instruments and seeing lanterns floating between trees. One night, the dream changed. She said she stood in a long hall filled with people she could not clearly see. The green-robed figure placed a hand on her stomach and told her, "The child walks between our worlds." After that dream, the woman reportedly woke feeling calm, almost detached. Weeks later, she went into labor unexpectedly, and it was early. According to the story, only the placenta was delivered. The village midwife claimed the child had been invited away. No one accused spirits of violence. Instead, elders said the child had been chosen to live among the Orang Bunian, raised in a hidden village where time moved differently. The woman later said she continued to dream of a child playing among the tall grass, always just out of reach. In older jungle communities, there are tales of women who unknowingly enter agreements during dreams. One story tells of a hunter's wife who repeatedly dreamed of a feast held deep in the forest. She said the people there welcomed her like family, though she couldn't see their faces clearly. During one dream, a figure placed a carved wooden amulet in her hands and told her, "A child will come through you, but not stay with you." Months later, when she became pregnant, elders warned her not to wander into the forest alone. They believe she had been spiritually betrothed to the Bunian. As the pregnancy progressed, she reportedly felt movement in her womb that would suddenly stop whenever she entered certain areas of the jungle. When labor came, the child was said to vanish without explanation. The villagers did not call it theft. They called it fulfillment of a promise made in dreams. Which is like the Fae.
Yes.
Making deals and shit like that.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a trickery aspect to that as well. Like making a, what I call that? It was a fucking, like a unremembered promise or whatever the fuck it was.
Yeah. It is bizarre.
Unknowingly enter agreements during dreams.
Yeah. Sus. How do you unknowingly enter an agreement? That doesn't sound like an agreement to me.
Yeah, it's fucking weird.
Yeah. My brain goes in two different ways. Three different ways. One is, did some of this lore start as maybe like a grief coping mechanism for people that were losing children before they were born? And then again, like Kyle pointed out, like the whole Fae aspect of this whole scenario. Also, you said early on they made children disappear, children vanish. Is this, could this be an offset of that where they just like literally make them vanish in the womb?
I think that's what they're insinuating.
That's what they're insinuating.
They're vanishing in the womb because the women get ultrasounded, they have a child in there, and then when they deliver, it's just a placenta with nothing inside.
It also, and I know we've made the comparison between Fae and alien lore before, it also kind of parallels abduction lore.
Just a little bit.
Where, you know, we talked about in the last episode, Peter's mom saying she's been a baby factory for the aliens.
Right.
Could these be using whatever this entity is, using women as surrogates?
Maybe.
And then they spun the lore like, hey, you went into an agreement in your dream, so now we're going to take your baby.
Well, I mean, you know, think about it like this. I'm not saying this is factual, but here's something for everybody to chew on. Let's say they started noticing these women getting pregnant. They know there's a baby in there. She's showing signs of it. And then she delivers only a placenta. What better coping mechanism to deal with fear into backstory lore about, well, there's these magical people in the woods, you know, and they're not stealing our children. They're inviting them to come live in a better place.
Yep. It's a lot easier to kind of process that grief as opposed to like losing a child, where it is a child is gone someplace better.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of possibilities there. Either way, it's fucking creepy that they're yanking kids. That's not very benevolent to me. But now I can understand if maybe the kid was going to pass during labor or something like that. And then, you know, whatever. You might be able to sell me on that. But regardless, it's questionable. But in the Malay belief system, and it's not something I'd ever considered before. We talked about it a little bit on the night shift, but pregnancy is considered an extremely liminal state, meaning the mother and child exist between worlds. Traditional beliefs often say pregnant women attract spirits or hidden beings. The unborn child exists partially in the unseen realm. Forest spirits may claim children they consider special or connected. I guess it's a big thing over there, though, because you have a lot of reports that run fairly similar to each other. They even get called in on radio-style Malay paranormal interviews. Some of the common tropes are dreaming of a handsome man in white or a quiet forest figure during pregnancy, feeling a hand touch their stomach, being told the child was special or not fully theirs. A quote here, after recurring dreams, the pregnancy ended suddenly. The elders said the Orang Bunian had taken the child. During pregnancy, they dream of a hidden village, and after losing the pregnancy, they continue dreaming of a child growing older. They can also describe hearing children laugh in the forest years later and sensing a presence that feels familiar. What's just as crazy, though, is that in the Southeast Asian culture, it's a known and okay thing for family members to have married into the hidden world. Even more so if they have some new abilities or knowledge. So in 2004, alternative medicine practitioner Madame Shan claimed he married a princess of the Orang Bunian, and her friends, or no, Madame, that would be, she married a prince of the Orang Bunian, and her friends actually witnessed her disappearance for 4 hours during a mountain trek, only to later return and insist she had 7 children through her relationship with the prince. So it would suggest that time moved extremely, must have moved faster.
Yeah,
in that encounter, because she was gone for 4 hours. But I mean, you're talking a lifetime having 7 children,
which is so weird that we had mentioned that alien abduction on the last episode that had similar.
Yeah.
Time distortion.
Yep. In most cases where children are brought into the world, they possess abilities from both sides. So essentially, these kids. So I guess it would be if a human and one of the Orang Bunian were to marry and have children, those children's would draw something from each side, and I put down. So basically, they get cool shit from the Orang Buni and like invisibility, and most likely they get diabetes from us.
Yeah. Well, they're living in a place that smells like fried food.
That's true.
So, not looking good.
That's true.
Not looking good.
Anyways, in most cases, these people will typically become very powerful shamans or healers. It still holds in modern times as well. Apparently, people who are in construction will often report things going missing, equipment moved, or even voices telling them to stay away from certain trees. It's said now they hire the Boma to negotiate with the local Orang Bunian before breaking ground. Parents even warn their children to behave and be polite while in the forest for safety and to avoid offending the invisible inhabitants. You'll find that idea is repeated over and over again in Southeast Asian folklore. The concept of the forest contains multiple overlapping realities. The human world is only one of them. In Malay cosmology, the jungle isn't simply wilderness, it's a threshold, a place where the boundaries between worlds thin out. That's why so many encounters with the Orang Bunian happen in places that already feel strange to humans. Deep rainforest, mountain slopes, caves, waterfalls, and old growth jungle that has never been cleared. These locations are believed to act almost like doorways between layers of existence. Some elders describe it as walking past an entire village without realizing it's there. The buildings, the people, even the fires could exist only a few steps away, but invisible because they belong to another layer of reality. Others describe it like two radio frequencies occupying the same space. Humans normally tune into one channel while the Orang Bunian move through another. Occasionally, something interferes with the signal. When that happens, people report brief glimpses of the hidden world. Movement in trees, voices speaking just out of sight, or entire settlements that disappear when approached. That idea alone explains a lot of the stranger elements of the Orang Bunian encounters. The missing villages, the sudden disappearances, the feeling of being surrounded by something you can't quite see. Because according to the belief, the hidden world isn't somewhere far away. It's already here.
That part you were talking about where they stop construction because of sacred trees and stuff, 100% reminds me of the shit they do in Iceland with the older folk, where they will delay, they'll stop, they'll reroute roads because they think that the Holdu folk, hidden people or elves, live in certain giant boulders and stuff. In 2015, there was a case involving a 70-ton boulder believed to be an elf church that was completely moved out of the way for this road construction because they didn't want to destroy it because obviously it was an elf church.
That's fucking nuts that they thought it was an elf church.
Yep.
I mean, rad. I'm not trying to make fun of it or anything or call it bullshit. It's just crazy. I never realized that the elves had church.
Yeah.
It's kind of an interesting.
It is interesting.
Situation there.
I got to look more into that later.
What
elf religion there is.
It's probably cool.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. They're elves.
Yeah.
They're doing all sorts of cool shit.
It's probably sick. But yeah, that's basically what I had on the Orange Bunion.
Every time you say that, it cracks me the fuck up.
But, and there's other cases out there. You know, I have one more I could read. Another. So supposedly, in 2016, a group of hikers in Malaysia entered a section of forest near Gunung Pulali.
Yeah.
Which I nailed that. The trail itself wasn't considered particularly dangerous, and the group had navigated it before. But about an hour into the hike, two members of the group suddenly vanished. The rest of the hikers searched the surrounding area, shouting their names and checking the path. Couldn't find nothing. No broken branches, no signs of struggle, no footprints leaving the trail. Rescue teams were eventually called in. The search lasted nearly 2 days. When the two missing hikers were finally found, they were sitting only a few hundred meters from the trail they originally disappeared from. What confused rescuers was that the area had already been searched multiple times. According to the hikers, they had been walking the entire time. They believed they had only been gone for about 20 minutes. But they also said something else that was strange. They claimed they kept hearing people walking ahead of them in the trees. Not animals, people. Every time they tried to follow the sound, it moved further away. And you can find tons of stories like that. And Steve and I have also talked about American stories that are similar to that. Remember the guy went hiking and I think it was his wife was looking for him. And he's like, I never left the trail. I've been here the whole time. I never heard you yelling for me or anything like that.
Yep. The parallels are crazy.
It's nuts.
It's exactly the same thing happening just on a different side of the planet.
Yep.
Understood by a different demographic of people.
And I feel like the Orang Bunian, the world building around them comes from, like, they have far more respect for that old world stuff than like the Western civilization does.
Yeah.
So that also probably plays a role in the belief system around each of the parties there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we don't take that stuff as serious as other cultures do anymore.
That's exactly to us. It's a mystery.
Yeah.
You know, missing 411. There's no lore behind it. There's no entity or any kind of explanation behind it. It is a class A mystery. People go into the forest, they disappear. They're found where it's searched. No explanation. Where the Orang Bunian, you have a whole web of lore and years of history that's been created and spun, not even created, maybe it was there to begin with, and that lends explanations to these happenings. It's I think that's why it's so jarring seeing the parallels between things that happen here in the United States and things that happen like missing 411, for example.
Yeah.
We do have things that have a lot of lore and culture, like Native American Wendigo and stuff like that. But for the missing 411 in specific, there's no lore behind it. It is just a mystery, end, period, the end.
And I still think that has everything to do with like what we talked about just a second ago, where, because you I feel like the Malaysian people probably closer resemble Native American people, because Native American people were just like the Malaysian people. It has this strong sense of connection with the forest and the environment and everything around that. And you still have that. Like, you still have that Native American culture that is there, whereas the rest of the Western world has fucking iPhones and tablets and shit, you know?
And I think it boils right back down to respect.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I think that's where it all delves from. The level of respect that you have for the forest and the earth and shit. I think that is what differentiates.
I agree. And, you know, and you could argue that could be why the Native Americans and the Malaysian people and so on and so forth were able to progress further in the knowledge of these things because they respected it.
Yeah.
Whereas a lot of the modern world could give a fuck less.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, here's my fucking jumbo styrofoam cup, bitch. Throw it out the window.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, right here, I'm going to drop a fucking couch off this bridge into the creek.
There's people that have never taken a walk through the woods.
Yeah.
There's people that think about that and is like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah. You
know, that's wild. It's wild.
It is fucking wild.
Yeah.
Motherfuckers that ain't seen a cow in real life.
Yeah.
Or corn.
That's all
corn fields.
That's all we see here. Oh, you're not talking about Korn the band.
Ooh, no.
No.
I mean, they're legit, but
yeah. Shout out to Jonathan Davis if you want to come on the show and talk about weird shit.
God, would that be a fucking dream come true?
That would be, you get Jonathan Davis or Fred Durst.
I've already tried messaging Fred Durst. That was a no-go.
No luck.
No, because he was supposed to be starting a podcast with
Billy Corgan.
Yeah, about UFOs and shit.
Did he say no or just no response?
He just has all things, all communication shut off.
So it's not a no.
Yeah, I didn't even officially get to send anything because it just says no.
Okay, so it's not a no from Fred.
100%, yeah.
Okay, good.
We're not out
the woods yet.
No. No, I mean,
pun intended.
It'd be fucking rad to be able to sit down with either one of those guys.
Yeah. I feel like there's two dudes that have seen some shit.
Get Fieldy on.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just play some sick slap bass.
Yeah. Just looking up at the ceiling the whole time.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, shit. That was a good one, Kyle, man.
It wasn't bad.
I love lore that parallels other lore that are on opposite sides of the damn planet. Like these things geographically and historically shouldn't be as similar to one another as they are outside of two things happening. One, there was some form of communication between these people thousands of miles away from one another. Or two, the phenomena is the same across the planet and people are just dealing with it the best way that they can.
I feel like that's probably the most logical explanation.
Or there's some kind of weird group consciousness thing.
Yeah, that's true. That could be a possibility.
Yeah. Okay. So there's three, but I love that shit, bro.
It's cool, man.
And you get into that and it just starts like,
it's way too weird that there's so many similarities.
Bingo.
It's just,
It's not coincidence at this point.
No, fuck no.
Hell yeah. Banger. Well, Holocult, that'll do it for this week's episode of Cool Shit with the Cool Dudes.
Hell yeah. So, that's the new podcast name.
Yeah, Cool Shit with the Cool Dudes.
Yeah, we're officially changing it after today. So probably. Next time you see a post, it's Cool Shit with Cool Dudes.
Yeah. Leave us some comments and stuff. Let us know what you think. Keep the old algorithm a-popping because we don't know how. And hope everybody has a good week. Everybody stay safe out there. Stay weird. And if you're going to make an orange bunion fall in love with you, just be aware of the risks that are involved with it. Invisible pregnancy. You're gonna get chubby because the whole town smells like delicious food and your existence is gonna be erased from the planet. Just be aware.